This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes, not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today is Ask Bill Day, and this is the time where I answer questions that have been emailed in or asked in person or via Quora or some of the other forums, Bigger Pockets that I might be a part of. Just want to share these questions with you because I think they might be helpful in the things that you're doing in your real estate investing. Our first question here comes from our friend KM. Those are his initials. And he says, "Hi, Bill. First, thank you much for the podcast. I listen to it twice a week. Question. I believe that it is wise to use a LLC or S Corp for asset protection when it comes to real estate. But how do I get the bank to finance this real estate for a new business that has no track record, no credit, and no record of income, etc.? I am stumped. Thanks, KM." Well, thank you so much for the question, and I think that's a great question. I think there is some confusion a lot of times when we get into multifamily especially, but even if you're doing just single family, using an LLC is a smart measure for you because it's a way of separating your real estate investments from your personal finances. And I'm not a lawyer. I'm going to say right up front, I don't have the legal background by any means, and I'm just sharing what information I have. But I would really recommend if you're considering getting an LLC or an S-Corp that you would talk to your attorney, somebody definitely more experienced in asset protection, to get a good legal opinion. But just as an investor, first off, I feel that LLC is a smart way to go. In fact, when I purchased my 22 unit in Indianapolis, the financing entity asked that I establish an LLC. They would not finance a loan unless I had it under the name of an LLC. So in many cases, you may be required, especially as you move into multifamily. LLCs are primarily for asset protection. And as I mentioned, it's protecting yourself by separating your personal finances from your real estate holdings. So it's a smart way to go. As far as the financing part, well, believe me, the banks will not lend to you if they think that there's some way they're not going to get their money back. So the fact that it's in the name of an LLC does not mean that they will not tap into the sources that they need in order to be assured that that loan, that obligation will be met. So if you are, for example, going to a bank and you're going to be applying for a loan, they're still going to look at your personal information. If you are the only other person involved in that LLC, they may look at other people on that LLC, but they will look at your credit information and all of the data they need to have in their underwriting to assure that you're going to be able to make those mortgage payments and meet the obligations of the loan. So it's not uncommon that they would have that. I know if you set up the LLC right before you get the loan, it may seem like, oh gosh, this is a new business and there's no credit history. There's no anything in there for them to look at, but they'll go right to your personal for the loan part of it. Even with the largest commercial loans, and even when you're syndicating, for example, there's a non-recourse loan and there's a recourse loan. A non-recourse loan is one where they don't generally look at your your personal information, even though they take all that information when you fill out the loan. But they do look for sponsors on those loans, and they look for individuals to sign the loan papers that will, one, meet the net worth requirement, and two, meet the liquidity requirement. So, for example, if you are buying a property for $4 million, you've got to have at least a $4 million net worth, or a combination of individuals signing the loan that have that net worth. And the liquidity generally means that you're going to be able to pay the expenses on that property, or at least meet the mortgage requirements for 3, 6, 9 months, whatever their requirements are. So the bank's been in business a long time, and you know, they've been doing loans in the names of LLCs, but they will look at not only the personal people involved, but they'll look at the business plan, which is a critical element for larger multifamilies, or any multifamily, really, to make sure that you're going to be generating the funds necessary to be able to meet the obligation. So they look at the business plan, they look at that part of it, but as far as the signers on it, they will tap into people as they need, as they see the requirements are. On the non-recourse, again, you probably want to talk to a banker that does those types of loans, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type loans, that can give you more information about it in that hand. But an LLC doesn't really impact it. They will go and have folks complete the information that they need. I would reference some of our previous episodes, episode 011 called Protecting Your Real Estate Assets, and that was with Rich Dad Advisor Garrett Sutton. That's 011, and there'll be a link in the show notes for today, or you can just go back and go to our website at olddogsreinetwork.com and look up that episode, or 053, episode 053, Why Investors Use LLCs with attorney Clint Coons, who sets up lots of LLCs. That episode has a lot of great information about setting up LLCs. Okay, next question. This one is basically about single family versus multifamily. And the question is, which is the better real estate investment, buying many single family homes or a few larger multifamily properties? Well, first off, I'll say the only way to really answer this is by saying what is better depends entirely on your personal financial goals and available resources. For example, if your goal is to quit your job and/or become financially independent in 3 to 5 years, multifamily is definitely the better way to go. If you're younger, for example, and you love your job and you just want to build up a portfolio for your retirement, single family properties could work fine. Or if you're older and you really only need maybe an additional 500, maybe to 1,000 in additional cash flow, single family homes could also work there too. But multifamily is really the way to generate much more cash faster. And I'm not going to say one's better than the other, because some of you may be doing single family and you're just kicking it. You're doing great. That's fine. Just keep doing that. Single family properties are good if you, you know, generally, if you have a slow and steady approach and you don't want to, you know, spend a lot of money up front. So, for example, you have a goal of buying one rental home a year for the next 10 to 20 years. And that works great with a single family. You know, just some of the key points maybe look at in terms of comparing these. Really, the scalability aspect is one of the top ones, is that comparing, for example, buying 20 houses to buying a 20-unit apartment building. When you look at it and you start to compare, you say, well, you know, okay, with an apartment, I'd have 20 doors under one roof. So I'd only have one roof, one property tax bill, one insurance bill, one mortgage payment, one lawn to cut, you know, one LLC, for example, one set of books. But when you're dealing with multiple properties, you're going to have 20 of each of those things. And in some cases, like with insurance bills, it's going to cost a lot more to insure 20 single family homes than one 20 unit for the most part. So the, you know, there's scalability aspects in there that are important thing to take a look at. Financing is definitely different for commercial properties as opposed to single family. I think it's probably easier to get single family loans, and sometimes you can get better terms. It just depends on the type of product that you're looking at. There are also, you know, management issues generally with the multifamily. You're reliant upon a property manager. Single family homes, people feel, well, they can do it themselves. But what happens, and at least from the folks that I've talked to, is when you have multiple properties and you're managing them yourself, you also get burned out a lot faster too. So there's some negatives there. You can also hire property managers for your single family, which a lot of people do, but it does cost more. You can usually negotiate a property management deal at 3 to 7% for a multifamily property, whereas usually single family homes will be at least 10%, sometimes higher. There are pluses and minuses on both ends of it. I think it really does come down to what I mentioned, is it depends on your goals. If you've got a lot of time and you've got a way to be able to manage it well and take care of it, then single family is fine. If you're looking to generate more money quicker, then multifamily works well. So you might want to listen to episodes. I've got three good episodes here that we've already done. One was episode 030, where I talk about single family versus multifamily investing. And then 043, we heard it from Rod Cleef, who's also a podcaster and investor. He talks about the advantages of multifamily over single family. And then, just to make sure all sides are represented, in episode 087, I have Mark Ferguson talk about creating wealth with single family homes. I believe he's up to, I think, more than 16 single family homes he's been investing for a while. And then there's one that I think gives an interesting twist to it, and that's episode 090. And it's simply entitled, If I Had $100,000 to Invest in Real Estate. And what I look at is various ways to invest, either through single family homes versus multifamily. And sort of the big question I have there is, if I took $20,000 to buy $500,000 value homes, that's figuring a 20% down for each home, versus taking $100,000 and buying a multifamily. And, I think it was a 10 unit or something. They were pretty comparable. You know, it's like 10 doors either way. What would be the difference, and which one would generate more, and the equity issues and so forth were addressed in that too. So there are a few episodes that you can reference back to, and we also have some good articles on this as well in our blog that you can scan through as well. And those are all at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. So the podcasts and the articles are in that same section. Well, those were our two questions for today. That's it. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.